Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio and eSETI Stargate. And check out eSETI Stargate TV. Now we have a lot of movies and shows and radio shows and conferences and everything up there too as well. There's so much going on right now. I was going to skip the news just because there's so much news going on. But, you know, all I can say, you know, if you still think this present administration is in your highest and best good, you know, yeah, you're a little bit critical thinking, research and integrity impaired, you know, and if you still support it, good luck, you know, but you're not going to fare well in the days to come. But anyway, you know, karma works and everything's being amplified and accelerated. We just went through this incredible eclipse, and I don't know about you guys, but the energy was so intense, man, it hit us hard. And I had all kinds of faces appearing to me, and I don't even want to mention them because we were doing a little battle in the other levels, clearing out these energies. But it was a pretty intense one. And then, God, the next day everything just flipped. But about 2 or 3 days before that eclipse, it seems like as they say in India, you know, the closer you get to Nirvana, the more the demons rear their ugly heads, and they definitely reared their ugly heads. So anyway, we'll just leave it at that. And just, you know, I always say, just toss your TV out, forget it, and, you know, let it work itself out and just focus on love and joy and bliss and get out in nature. And, you know, because this is a big cleanup on aisle 7 coming. And we're right in the middle of it. So just hang in there. My guest tonight is Gail M. Jett. She's an RN, MSN, MP, PhD, LMT, RMT, and a few other alphabets in there. She's an advanced holistic nurse, board certified, heart math certified practitioner, BioWell certified practitioner, biofield tuning certified practitioner, energy medicine advanced practitioner, or Eden Energy, faculty Eden Energy Medicine certification program, faculty at, Akamai, I'll probably say that wrong, university. But anyway, without further ado, I'm going to bring Gail on the show. Gail, are you with us?
I'm here.
Everything's working. It's a miracle.
Great.
Yeah,
especially with the energies lately.
Yeah, we've had to we couldn't do live broadcasts anymore because we had so much interference, and it's almost like they knew when we're going to do it, and you know, my feed would drop, Jason's feed would drop, that, you know, it was just like we got hacked so bad right at that time, so we have to kind of do pre-records and sneak them in later. And so every once in a while we'll sneak in a live one if we can't do it any other way, but we just get so much interference, it's crazy.
Yeah,
but I know you've got a workshop at the ranch coming up, and was that June 30th to July 2nd?
Correct.
I'd love to talk about, I mean, I experienced your BioWell camera, that was pretty amazing. The it was interesting because it was right on, because I'm pretty aware of my own body and what I'm going through. And it just validated a lot of that. And I'd like to talk about that and whatever else you want to talk about, what you're going to offer at the workshop. And,
sure.
And I'll just let you take it from there.
All right. Well, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for asking me. So with my workshop, I am a nurse practitioner, and one of the things that's always been the most important to me is empowering people with their healthcare. And I left conventional medicine about 7 years ago, and I do strictly energy-based healing technology and therapies now. And so I wanted to talk to people about what I believe is one of the things to be thinking about with everything going on right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the state of consciousness or lack thereof. And so yeah, what I wanted to focus on was the notion of disease and really looking at it through a different lens, as if perhaps it's more of a frequency occurrence that is shared by large groups of people depending on what they're hearing. So what do I mean by that? If you hear something on, I mean, personally, we don't watch the news around here, but if let's just say that a person watches the news and they hear something that's frightening to them, and then they start telling their friends, and then pretty soon you've got a group of people all on the same page. The question is, you know, you're being told something, and should you always believe it? You know, and I mean, where I'm going with this particular thread is, I'll use an example in healthcare. We've heard of the placebo effect.
Yeah.
And that is where you're told this is going to be really good for whatever condition it is you're being treated for, and you're going to feel a lot better and blah, blah, blah. We know we have good research to back up the fact that placebo effect actually works. And frankly, we should be using it a lot more. I realize it may not make money for, you know, the powers that be, but it does work. Now, on the flip side, there's another phenomenon called the nocebo effect. And that, to me, is it's incredibly prevalent right now in healthcare. And what I mean when I say that is that people will be told, here's a medicine, here's a therapy, these are the side effects. These are all the things that could go wrong. And so quite often the way that is handled with people is it ends up scaring them more than, you know, the actual therapy. And they can actually sometimes develop the actual side effect or problem that was mentioned to them. So I think that with what I'm seeing quite often in healthcare, and this is not across the board, I want to make sure people understand that there's a lot of really good healthcare practitioners out there trying very hard to take very good care of patients. But sometimes the way that things are prefaced with people, it ends up creating a lot of fear. So one of the things that I'm going to talk about at my workshop is how this, you know, thoughts basically get transmitted. And that part of it is a consciousness level, and how we can start to discern using our intuition, which the heart, in my opinion, is the actual seat of intuition. A lot of disciplines will say it's the third eye. Others will say mm-hmm. it's the second chakra, you know, the womb chakra, for example. And I think all of these factor in, but I believe the heart, and there's some good research to back up what I'm saying. And I know that research is not the end all be all. We all know there's good research and then there's not so much, but the people at HeartMath, for example, have done a tremendous amount of work with the heart over the last 30 years. And I don't know if you know, our listeners are aware, but the heart actually has its own brain. And there's a type of a specialty in that area called neurocardiology. And we know that the heart actually does qualify to be called, it has its own nervous system, for example. And it actually got reclassified as an endocrine gland, which that is a gland that secretes different hormones. And the heart does do all of those things. Oxytocin is one. Oxytocin is an incredibly important hormone. The other thing we call it is the tend and befriend hormone, and it is produced by the heart mostly. There's other areas in the body that also produce it. But the reason it's important is because it's the hormone that is produced when we touch another person, particularly with love, like a mom with a baby, or hugging a friend or a partner or any of those things. And one of the things that drove me nuts during COVID was the lack of touch. And touch is incredibly important for healing and for just a person's emotional health and well-being. So we can thank the heart for that. And again, the heart, if we begin to listen to it, it is a very important seat of learning and discernment. So one of the things I want to talk to people about at the workshop also is how to start listening with discernment. You know, how do we decide if what we're hearing is really factual, beneficial, that kind of thing? We all know we're being hit, we're being bombarded right now with stuff. Yeah. Right. So exactly. And so Friday night, when the workshop starts, we're going to talk about the immune system, just a general overview, because I think it's important that people have a good basic understanding how our immune system works. And touch plays a big part, believe it or not, plays a huge part. And we'll look at it kind of through the Western lens, but also through the Eastern lens. Yeah. And then we'll get into stuff on Saturday, where we talk about, you know, the biofield, which I'll talk about the camera there in a minute, but the biofield, kind of what it's made of, how do we work with it, but also how do we begin to protect ourselves and boost our own immune systems, and, you know, the importance of grounding and that kind of thing. So those are going to be some of the topics that we're going to go over. I may tweak or add, fine tune a couple of things too, but I want people to walk away feeling empowered more about their health, just looking at, there may be some different ways to think about what's actually happening out there.
Yeah, I agree. Going back to the heart, I know that the HeartMath has done studies, and I think there's just there's so much more electrical activity going on and energy around the heart than the brain.
Oh, yeah.
It's massive. And
very much.
What I was taught is your soul sits right next to the heart, and there's a chamber there, and it has this huge electrical charge.
Yeah.
And your soul is connected to Creator, you know, so people worship the intellect right now. And it's hard for men to get out of their intellect and drop into the heart. It's harder for them. And but they think that the intellect is going to protect them, and it's going to, you know, guide them and everything else. And, you know, it's a great slave, but a terrible master. And, you know, but not that I'm into slavery, but just to make a point. I'm sure somebody's going to take that piece out and do something with it. But the I've seen that over and over again. I try to explain to people they're in their head so much that they miss so much.
Yeah.
And they're just oblivious. And I think that's one of the biggest struggles. And we could do a whole show on that between men and women, is that, you know, the men are in their brain, they're trying to figure it out. And the women are in the heart usually, and they're in their emotional body, which is 10 times bigger than the intellectual body, processing faster. And the men are still trying to figure out things in their intellect. The women are already gone. they've gone on to 5 other subjects. So yeah. So it's kind of and I always too, I mean, this is off subject too, but I always felt that women or grandmothers really need to be in charge, you know, of the planet, hooked up to like a galactic council or something, because right now men aren't, this whole patriarchal program is just not working.
Yeah. I have to agree with you, James, on that one. I've long felt, not just because I'm female, but I've long felt that the crone energy is the most necessary energy right now, and the grandmothers. Absolutely. I think that if we were allowed to bring back that way of helping to govern and oversee, I hate to even use the word govern, but the way of overseeing the planet and nurturing it back to health, we would be in very good shape very quickly.
It seems like over the years, there's just been a full out war against the divine feminine, against the grandmother energy, or coming from the heart. It's like, let's get them out of the heart and just keep everybody in the first three, you know, chakras, survival, right. Sex, power, and, you know, and the music and the movie industry, all that stuff's involved in that. And the news, like you're saying, you should be very afraid because you got a mugger around the corner and he's waiting for you, you know, and, you know, all this other stuff. But it's unbelievable. I think that is definitely has been the intent of tyranny for some time, is to just shut that down. It's not working. It's blowing up in their face, and it's coming out anyway. But
yeah, well, and as it should. And, you know, what I also want everyone to know, and I know some of our listeners will know this, but strong emotion, particularly fear, is a great controller. Fear is a master.
Yeah.
And there's, and I'll be talking about this more in detail at the workshop and ways to work around that. But when we are in a state of fear, and you were talking about a lot of time, we're in our head. One of the things I can tell you, and I see this in my energy practice all the time, is that we're no longer grounded. And we'll talk about grounding there and go into more detail what that means. But when we're in our head, and this is women too, when people are up in their head, they are not grounded. When you're not grounded, you are not accessing a very important energy from the earth. And that's critically important. And we go back with one of the things I wanted to say about the heart is that you're right. It is actually about 100 times more powerful. Its electromagnetic field than that of the brain. And they also know that there's more neural pathways leading from the heart to the brain than vice versa. Yeah. And so, you know, I've always thought, you know, as a healthcare professional, it's really sad to me that the leading cause of death in this country is heart disease. Well, what's up with that? And the scary thing is it's going up in women. That rate is going up in women. And I have some ideas why, but it's worrisome. And so I think this is one of the reasons that I want to bring this, the various information to people.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's what I've seen, I was telling people about, they asked me, what do you see happening in the future? And, you know, if I say this, I know the people that, you know, the jab or whatever, but it's going to say, you're not talking about the jab, you know? And so I know all about that one. We're talking about something else here. but basically in the future, what I saw is that they were showing me something. They said that people who were constricted in the heart were not going to be able to function with these new energies coming in. And that very constriction is going to give them the heart attack. Now, there's other things that are giving people heart attacks too, but that's a different story. But and also too, the same thing about the field. And if you're aligned with your soul and the higher levels of consciousness, these lower levels of consciousness have a magnetic field, and that's changing. And if we do go through a magnetic pole shift and your ego is erased or, you know, highly disrupted, you're not going to function at all unless you are pulling from these higher levels of consciousness. So, you know, the moral of the story is pull from the higher levels of consciousness and open your heart and start being loving and kind to each other. And that's the only way you're going to get through these changes.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct on that. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, you know, when I talk about grounding, because we're different than toasters. You know, yes, we need to be grounded, but we also need to be rooted into the earth. And that is where we get our sustenance, our energetic sustenance. That's the nurturing. It's the restorative energy. And it's incredibly important. And the thing is, it's interesting. I remember years ago, I was at a conference and one of the presenters showed a little clip of this British dignitary who sort of smirked and said, the most powerful way to control a population is through fear. Well, if you think back over what we've dealt with over the last 3 years, it's been one thing after another, after another, after another. And again, every time people are hearing these things, and there's no shortage of things to put them into fear, they're not grounded. And as I said, you know, that's critically important during this time, because it also affects your consciousness. It's just, you know, they all go together. And and when you're living from the heart, that's one of the things that, you know, just from a frequency standpoint, it's going to be a lot harder for these lower level negative energies to even, you know, latch on. You know, we can get into quantum physics, but the bottom line is we do need to be getting, you know, getting out of just being existing in those bottom three chakras. We've got to get back up into the heart. And like you said, live from that place of joy and bliss. And, you know, one of the things that I love to tell people, and I do it myself sometimes, because let's face it, it's crazy out there. Okay. Yeah. It's crazy out there. And
I think it's by design, you know, it's, they've made it more crazier to reinforce the fear, and everything they're doing is to make it even more crazy, more fearful.
Yeah. Right.
Like what came first, the chicken or the egg? It doesn't matter. Just get rid of it.
Both rolling across the road at the same time now.
Yeah.
But if people understand one super important way that can help to ground, but also help raise your consciousness, and that's a gratitude list.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how fast, and I know you know because you do this all the time, but if people understand the importance of just making a list, and it can be something as simple as I'm grateful for my eyes because I can see the beautiful, hopefully blue sky, usually, but that, or we've had a lot of really gray here. It's been, yeah. I keep going, I think there's a blue sky out there, but I'm grateful for my eyes. And then I'm grateful for my body, and I'm grateful for my friends, and I'm grateful for my cats. And it, the list can be anything you want. And if people start finding that the more you start focusing on these positives, these things that give you joy, they bring you joy, that does it right there. That helps to raise your vibration right up. And super easy to do.
I agree. It's you know, we did a thing. I did an experiment. And this was like in the 90s, basically. And it was at the International UFO Congress. And I gave a talk there. And I talked about the benevolent beings that are coming in to help us. And I don't know where it came from, but somebody told me to, they asked if I could take people through a meditation, a healing meditation. It was just spontaneous. And so I said, okay, I want you to just focus on love and joy and bliss. Open your hearts. And I said, go back to a time when you were really happy. You know, you're like on the beach, you're in the forest, you're fishing, you're with your parents, you know, or dad or mom or whatever, doing whatever. And I said, just go find that space where you're really happy. And, you know, you're young, you're vibrant, you're healthy. And so we went through this meditation, and at the end of it, I couldn't believe how many people came up to me and they said, my back healed, my arm is, you know, stuff just healed, like it spontaneously. It was so bizarre, and it shocked me because I was just going by the inner guidance. You know, I go, okay, well, I did what they wanted, you know, see what happens. And then at the end of that talk, I talked about how we all need to work together for disclosure. We can't keep fighting over this piece of pie. We all have a piece of the pie. Let's put it all on the table, and then we'll have the whole picture of what's really going on, because it's all going on. You know, everything, there's so many levels to it. And it was funny when I got through, and then I was talking about the Palladians, how they're just pure love and joy and bliss. And you just, and I had to stop because there was so much energy coming in. I was getting tears and everything else. Yeah. And then I looked at the audience and the whole front row was crying, you know, I go, whoa, I guess that came across, you know, and then they asked me not to come back because you know? You're not supposed to introduce the spiritual side, you know, of contact. So 5 years later, they invited me back again, and then they disinvited me again after that. So it was like, I don't know what. It seems like, especially that, like the International UFO Congress, you know, that group there, that it's, they have a lot of evolving to do, you know, and really start working with the higher level stuff. You know?
Yeah.
But, a lot of jealous, a lot of competition, you know, it's sad, but it shouldn't be there.
Well, you're absolutely right. And the thing is, that's really what, as we know, that's part mm-hmm. of what this whole time is about. It is about, you know, dismantling all that isn't working, and jealousy and competition, that's yeah. very low frequency mm-hmm. energies. It doesn't serve anybody. I'm sorry, but it just doesn't. And I'd be hard pressed to have somebody say, well, yeah, but it, you know, when you're in that state, you know, that's not a coherent state. And, you know, you said something really important when you were talking about this meditation. And I was thinking, this is so similar to what HeartMath does when they talk about their heart coherence techniques and their lock-in techniques. And it's the same type of thing where they, you know, we tell people, go to a time of, just like you said, some really wonderful time where you were having a lot of joy and a lot of bliss, or an animal or a person or something that generates that feeling in you, because you really have to generate that feeling. Mm-hmm. And then you lock that in and you sit there with that feeling and then start to focus on your breathing, and you're breathing that feeling out. And this makes me think of some research that was done, and I wish I could recall exactly when, where, but I believe this is several years ago. I believe it was done, I want to say Chicago, somehow Tel Aviv is coming in, but different cities where they had trained meditators. And of course, we know when we meditate, we're getting, you know, you're getting a very steady high frequency. And what they found was that these people were cycling through this meditation, and that they found that the rates of violent crime and murder and, you know, all of that stuff, burglaries, attacks, all that, all dramatically decreased while they had these people meditating, which again brings up the question of what are you putting out there? And I believe that the some of the players right now know exactly what they're putting out there. And that's why the fear is so prevalent. And it's up to us to start to change that narrative and start to put out the love and the joy and the bliss. And it's doable. And it, the more of us who do it, that, you know, increases it exponentially. I forget, what did they say? There's only a certain very small part of a population. Like,
yeah,
that can begin to change the whole, the whole narrative.
Yeah, you hit that critical mass level and then boom, you know, it all flips. The
right.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty interesting things happen, and like Eddie said, it's like an acupuncture point for the planet, and the ley lines cross there, and they told me that what we do there affects the whole planet, and I go, this is interesting, and they started showing me how it works, and if enough people gather together and start, you know, doing clearing work and healing work. I wanted to mention, just a heads up to people, I'm getting so many emails from people go, what is going on? I am getting hammered right now. And it has to do with the ascension process we're going through and the natural cycles and things like that. But it is bringing up some nasty, nasty old energies, demonic gen type things, and there's people actually playing with these energies in the spiritual and UFO community and doing like ceremony and attacks, or, you know, attacking each other and everything else. So, you know, just a little heads up, a little warning, be careful, don't trespass on other people, don't allow trespassing energies, don't try to control and manipulate anybody, because you will be controlled and manipulated, and they will own you if you play that game. So yeah. I just wanted to do a little disclaimer there real quick, because I mean, I'm seeing stuff I've never seen before, and I'm seeing the face, they're hideous, and they're very ancient, they're very old, and people are actually sending these energies out, and they think, you know, they're doing black magic, or they think they're doing spiritual practices, but they're not, you know, it's something else.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you. And I want to say something about Eseti. This brings me to the camera. So the BioWell camera, I took up to your ranch last summer and ran some scans on you and my husband and myself and some other folks. And for people who don't know what the camera is, this is a research proven device that's been around for well over 20 years. It is was developed in Russia by Dr. Konstantin Korotkov, who unfortunately we lost him last year. And I forget how much research studies have been done on it, but they use it on the space station as a tool to monitor the health and welfare of the folks that live up there and work. Basically what it is, it's a little box. It's roughly about this big, and it has an orifice in it. And what we do is we take pictures of your fingertips. Now that may sound weird, but this gets into the whole gas discharge visualization. So as living beings, we're giving off and absorbing different gases all the time. So we're talking oxygen, hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, all of that, nothing mysterious. Mm-hmm. And so what it's being given off the whole surface, but what they found was the fingers are an easy way to photograph this. And so you put your fingers in this orifice one at a time, starting with the right hand, right, and then the left. And as you put them in the orifice, then I hit the scan button, and that sends a millivolt of electricity through the dielectric plate that you put your finger on. Now, the good news is you don't feel anything when you do that. Yeah. And yet it excites all the electrons from the gases and they say too, the biophoton or the photons. Yeah. And biophotons can also be excited. What that does is it creates a scatter pattern, and then the software and the camera will read that. Now, this is where it gets to be fun, because it ends up translating this into a picture of your aura or biofield. And we take a look at the integrity of that. There's several things that we look at. It then gives us a readout of the meridians and the energy. And by the way, the energy is measured in joules. It's J-O-U-L-E-S. That's a very well accepted measurement in science. And we also look at the organs themselves and the amount of energy storage. And we're looking at what people have on reserve. You know, how well are you functioning? What's your reserve amount? We look at biorhythms, which are fascinating. And because we check emotional energy, intellectual energy, and physical energy. And in some countries, they will run biorhythm scans on themselves. You can actually find those online. And before they make any big decision, like taking a job or, you know, buying a house or something like that. Yeah. So it gives us this really good readout of what your energy looks like right now. It's a snapshot. And as I tell people, this is a simple snapshot. We'll check it again. And we would only start to get concerned is if we see a pattern developing, just like we would in healthcare. If we, you know, get lab work or something like that, we're seeing the same thing starting to show up. But Chinese medicine, for example, believes that disease begins in the energy field out here before it actually starts, and it will tend to progress in until it becomes matter, which is just light, you know, slowed down to the speed of light. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I just have to say about the BioWell is that I've taken, you know, hundreds of scans, and what I found absolutely fascinating, and I don't remember if I shared this with you, but it took me forever to get that calibrated up there, because I have to calibrate to the energy, and I'd never run into that before. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm saying probably 20, 25 minutes to get it calibrated. And then the thing that I found that's so interesting, and those of your listeners who have been to ESETI know, the energy there is absolutely palpable. It is wonderful. It's just so powerful, and just, it's wonderful. That's all I can say. I love being there. And what I found was that running the scans on all of us, I can only use my husband and myself as comparisons, but our biofields were up by about 10 joules. Uh-huh. That's significant. Uh-huh. That is significant. So, you know, we're measuring the ambient energy, and I keep thinking I'd love to get one of the other little tools for that. It's called a Sputnik, and the Sputnik measures the energy in a space. Yeah. And they've used that. One of my teachers had measured that energy in an ashram in India before and after people were in there. It was pretty fascinating. So that's what the camera does. It's pretty cool little tool.
I noticed that it when you do the readings, because I'm pretty aware of where I'm, you know, myself and what needs work, you know, and things like that. It pretty much pointed out that, you know, a lot of it, I think a lot of it too was the reserve energy too. When you're always giving and giving and giving, you'll find out your reserves are kind of depleted. And right. So you got to build that energy back up again, you know, and be kind to yourself and loving to yourself. Because a lot of people that are in the spiritual community, they just keep giving and giving. They get out of balance, you know, with that.
Well, and I think that's a really, really important topic. And I'm glad you brought that up, because this is, again, part of my goal for the workshop is giving those of us in the healing professions and in the world of giving, because, you know, you're a huge giver yourself. So you are very aware of the importance. And you're right. I think a lot of people who are in this realm really don't realize how much, you know, they love giving. They love how it makes them feel, all of that. But it does reach a point where it's not going to be beneficial for that, your particular organism, if you keep going at that and not renewing and restoring yourself. Hence, mm-hmm. going back to the importance of grounding. And the thing is, grounding can be easily achieved. And, you know, it can be good old fashioned bare feet on plain dirt or bare feet, of course, you know, at the beach right now for you, the ocean, you know, good old wet sand, can't beat it. But wet grass for the feet when, you know, depending on what, right now my weather not conducive, but it will be. But it's standing with your back to a tree or hugging a tree, you know, that's another, just getting out in nature is so incredibly important, spending that time, because it just, HeartMath did some research a while back on trees, for example, and their ability to predict earthquakes. I'm not sure, I think some of the trees, they were measuring these huge ancient redwoods, and I don't know if the fires, paradise, and some of the rest of them, I never did hear for sure whether they were damaged. But what they were finding is that trees can start to sense energies, like, you know, predict an earthquake. And they also wondered if the energy of large groups of people could affect the energies of the trees. And I found that fascinating. It's kind of an ongoing process. I don't know the status of it, but I think it was called the Tree Research Project. I should actually get back on and look at it. It was really, really fascinating and on the effect of us on the planet. And possibly the Schumann resonance. Yeah, it's been pretty active.
Oh God, the Schumann resonance just whites out. Yeah, I mean, it's off the scale, and then it'll be dark and there's nothing. You go, what is going on?
Yeah.
And we all know what magnetic fields do to the body. I mean, Stanford Research did research on that, and they found out that monkeys, when they experience fluctuations in the magnetic field, they exhibited behavior from comatose to self-mutilation, you know, so.
Yeah.
And so you can see these big solar flares hitting and the Schumann resonance going crazy, and watch people just losing it.
Yeah.
And we don't have to be like monkeys. When we know what's going on, we can adjust and, like you're saying, ground and maybe not go out in public if you don't have to. And it's so much easier to get through these times. I have a mosquito coming after me here that's, I'm going to send him to heaven here in a minute, but you know, they love me. I don't know why the mosquitoes just, but they, well, I was going to say something else. I'll never forget, this woman said something. She was a massage therapist, and she said, spiritual people are of no earthly good. And I didn't know what she meant by that. And I asked her, I go, what do you mean by that? And she said, they're not grounded. She said, the work is here. you know, the other higher planes are fine, you know, she said, but they need to get grounded and start helping out here, you know, yeah. Be in service and things like that. And I'll never forget that, you know,
Well, and you know, when I'm working with people in my office, I was showing somebody today how fast, and this is the cool thing. If people are thinking there's a lot of stuff you have to do, you don't. And it is simple as changing your thoughts, because I will show them how their polarity will totally flip when they are fearful or some other stressor. And again, there's no shortage of those right now, but then I'll show them how just changing their thought pattern into something that, again, going back, what is it? Something that makes you feel good, or someone, or your dog, or your horse, whatever makes you feel good, and how fast it brings it back.
Yeah. It's got a big jolt of energy. Right.
Well, I was just thinking with that mosquito, I forget who said it, but I saw it one time where somebody said, if you think you're too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But one other thing to say about the solar flares and the coronal mass ejections and all of that is, again, heart math. Obviously, everybody, I love heart math. They just because they've done so much with the heart, but they showed that when we have an increase in sunspot activity, solar flares, CMEs, that it actually has an effect on heart rate variability. Heart rate variability is basically that beat to beat difference that allows us to be able to get up and climb stairs or stand up okay from a sitting position and walk across the room and that kind of thing. So it adjusts all the time. And a sign of good variability is when we are in parasympathetic mode, or rest, better known as rest and digest. And most people are spending an awful lot of time in sympathetic fight or flight these days. And again, you know, I have to think that there's forces that know that and intend to keep as many people in that state as possible because of the effects on their health.
Yeah. And also the control. You know, they can definitely control you, you know, with that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I think you and I had talked about this before, but there was a little study done, well, not little, but what they found is that when people get stressed, you know, whatever it is, that up to 80% of the blood leaves the forebrain. And it was interesting. Yeah. They did imaging and you can actually see it, you know, and so it goes into the body, you know, the muscles, the heart, lungs, kidneys, that kind of thing for fight or flight. Well, when you've got about 20% up there here, you're not going to be able to access your tools, you know, your critical thinking skills, your, you know, being able to be present, meditation skills, any of these, you're on basically, you're in fight or flight hindbrain behavior, you know, it's knee jerk. And so again, when we can do very easy techniques to help people get grounded and get that blood back up here, because it needs to nourish this area. That's the other thing is, you know, a lot of times if that blood's going elsewhere, you're not getting oxygen and nutrition and removing waste products from the brain and the limbic system, you know, that very important emotional part of the brain. So
yeah, I think Bruce Lipton did a lot of work on that. And he talked about people in the cities, you know, how their brains develop differently because of the fight or flight. And there's so many challenges and all the psychic turbulence there and everything.
Yeah.
And you're in your reptilian brain versus your mammalian brain, you know, which is the mammal brain is all about kind of like community and family and all that other stuff. And the reptilian brain is more fight or flight and
power. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's interesting.
Yeah.
I was thinking on the workshop, I think what kind of tools, I imagine you're going to give people tools on how to really, you know, keep their energies higher, to clear their fields or things of that nature.
Yes. I am going to be sharing some tools and techniques. I want to make it stuff that's easy for anybody to do. That's critical, because there's, you know, as we know, there's a lot of technology coming out, you know, professing to do various things. And I think some of them, they do. I always have to look at stuff with kind of a skeptical eye first, because there's a lot of, you know, that's all I'm going to say about it. And I think there is a lot of good stuff coming out, but not all of it is, number one. Number two, it can be very, very expensive. And as you know, I remember there was an author, it'll come to me when I'm not thinking right at the moment, but it might have been actually Master Stephen Coe, who I believe, don't quote me, but who might have said, your hands can heal you. And the amazing power of our hands for ourselves, you know, when you look at, I think it's like 50 to 60% of the receptors of the brain are right here in the hands. So if people understood the power of, you know, what they have right now, I mean, our creator gave us a lot of good tools that we've been sort of conditioned out of even knowing we have or using. So these are some of the things I want to focus on. I will have a syllabus for people too, to be able to take home and read, you know, later, that kind of thing. So yeah, we'll go into that. There's some great, I mean, I can give people one of my really favorite go-tos I'll show you right now. So if everybody takes a moment, and thinks of something stressful, we don't need to know what it is, but something on a scale of 1 to 10, that's, you know, up there around 10, 7, 8, 9, 10.
World War III.
right. So what we do is just put one hand on your forehead, and the other hand goes on the back of the head, where your eyes and eyebrows would be in the back of your head.
Yeah.
And you bring that stressor up and you rate it on the 1 to 10 scale. And then you go ahead and close your eyes. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to sit with that stressor with your hands there, because I'm going to tell you why we're doing this in a minute. But typically, if people will do this and hold it for a minimum of 2 to 3 minutes, what they'll usually find is that the intensity of this will drop dramatically. I had somebody in my office today who the stressor was a 10, and she held these points not very long, maybe 3 minutes, and it went down to a 2. And what I explained to people is that you're holding specific acupuncture points called neurovascular reflex points. And because your fingers are magnetic, electromagnetic, and one thing to think about blood is there's a metal in it, right? Pretty prevalent. It's called iron. And so when we hold these neurovascular points, it's bringing the blood back. It has to come back up into your brain. And there are different points. The back of the head where the eyes and eyebrows is fear and anxiety. And we have other points that are for grief and for anger and worry and that kind of thing. But this is a prevalent one right now that we're seeing for a lot of people. So not only does it bring the blood back up, but the more you do it around a particular issue, it doesn't make the issue go away. What it does is starts to temper your reaction and soften it, your reaction to the issue. And it also can be helpful in terms of something called neuroplasticity, which is pretty well known. We know that, yes, you can, old dogs can learn new tricks. Yes, you can make new neural pathways. And as I tell people, it's like if maybe you have places you like to go hike or walk, and you've got a path that you always take that path. Well, what you're doing here is, rather than always taking that path, is you're taking a new path. And the more you take this new path, you like it, and you notice that you start wearing it down and you have a path going, and the old path just ends up having weeds and stuff grow over it, right? Yeah. So that's basically what we're talking about, is just some, you know, training the brain not to always go there, but to start to change it over. So this one can be very effective.
Yeah, we have the intention walk there at the ranch, and it's the circle in the Field of Dreams there, and people walk, take that path, and they, in their mind, they say, I have always been whole and healthy. It's like you're putting it right in the now, and or I've always been abundant, you know, or whatever, and they walk that path. And you can actually film it at night, and you'll see orbs and light spheres everywhere in that field, you know, that are helping people. And we watch people walk right out of their illnesses, walk right out of their disease. They reprogram their body, their DNA, and think, and the land actually reprograms their DNA too, as well, because of the energy there. And it's been going on for God knows how long. And it's amazing. One other thing I want to say is I've got like a little, these little batteries here. This is just a standard battery.
Right.
And if people, there's some people do this really easy. Some people have a harder time with it. But if you take a little battery just like that, put your thumb on the positive and put the negative side on your second finger or whatever, and hold it, and don't try to send energy to it. Just relax with the intention of the battery recharging. You can recharge your batteries. And I do it all the time for people, and it blows their mind. And I was on a radio show, and I did 9 D cell batteries for one host, and I did it for Above Top Secret and all those guys. And he said his battery wouldn't die. He said he couldn't figure it out. You know, he said it just kept going. But and that's just to show you, we've got trillions of volts in our cells, in our body. We just don't know how to send it or utilize it.
Right.
And once we, and this is just a little tool to play with, go, oh my God, I just charged a battery. Well, if I can charge a battery, I can probably charge my friend, you know, or I can probably use this energy. And hands are both senders and receivers, both, you know. So
yeah,
you start realizing that how much what's available to you, you can start doing like airbender things, you know, like Yigong, you start moving energies and merge with the elements and everything. It starts to get really fun.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring up that battery. That's great. I had not tried that. I love it.
Yeah.
There's a kid's toy. I've have one for my students, for example, when I teach this stuff and the energy medicine, but it's called, I think it's called an energy stick. And so it's same kind of thing. What I'll end up having people do is all circle and hold hands, and then 2 people each will have one end of the energy stick, and it makes this obnoxious noise, you know, it's a kid's toy, what can I say? Yeah. but it just it'll light up, and it's just because of the energy that's traveling through the hands. And as soon as one person drops the end of one of them, then it stops. So I show that to people in terms of, yes, you know, we're making a connection with another person when the laying on of hands, that's yeah, what it is. And you're right, it's the same thing as charging that battery. So we're pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We have those I think they're called multi-field, I'm not sure what they're called, but it'll register all the different fields of energy, electrical, magnetic, radio, or whatever else, and has a little thing, it goes up and down, you know. And so it'll be on the table, and I'll just look at it, and it'll go like this. And I'm showing people how sensitive these things are, and how your energy fields go out. And it'll tell you how big your aura is, everything. And it'll also tell you if you're getting hit by any kind of waves that aren't positive or not in your highest and best good. But tri-field meters, that's what
right. I was just going to say, that sounds like a tri-field. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they're fun to play with, but you can show people, just, you know, you take your hand, you put your intention on it, it'll go off. But you can take your hand and just act like you're going to touch it, you know, act like you're going to grab it, don't grab it, it'll go like really loud. It's really funny, but people have no idea. You know, what brings me, Ezekiel told me once, he said, you have no idea how many people you're affecting on the outskirts of your aura, you know, because we always beat ourselves up and go, God, I could do more, I should be doing more, and things like that. And we have no idea, just by holding a frequency and grounding that love and joy and bliss, how much we can affect the planet and others. Because our fields are out touching everybody, you know, and it's the same way if you're, you know, Debbie Downer or Donnie Downer or He/She Downer, I don't know what to say, but if you're one of those and you walk into a room, it affects everybody too, the same way, you know. There's, I've seen people come in the room and they're not, you know, you'll see a sofa and there'll be like three or four people on the sofa, right? And this other person will come sit down. And like, you know, in 2 or 3 minutes, everybody's gone. And there's only one sitting there. And they don't know why they left. They just, felt like going. And people need to realize how much they affect the energy fields of others and the area and even the land too. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I know we're getting close to time, but I remember Bruce Lipton saying one time, was explaining this whole thing, that when, you know, let's just say you've been invited to a party and you're like, you know, for Friday night, you're like, I don't really want to go, but you go because you like the person. And then you end up meeting these other cool people and all of a sudden you're all fired up and you got all this energy, and that it's good old quantum physics. It's just constructive interference, basically. And then the opposite can happen when you're around, and we all know people that bring us down, right? It's like, ugh, when you have to be, it's a very, you know, it's the same thing. So yeah, we do need to be very mindful of our effects on others and the planet.
Yeah. I think one of the most powerful things we can do now is to say not mine and set boundaries. When you feel those energies coming in, just go, not mine, and set a boundary and go within, go back into the heart and hook up with the higher dimensional beings or aspects of yourself, you know, and get through it. But because it is intense, and I do believe we are running out of time. I was looking at the clock. So
yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, we could probably go on forever.
Right.
What's the best way for people to get in contact with you? And also, people, remember June 30th to July 2nd on the eSETI site, we'll have all of our information up and the workshop.
Yeah, the easiest way probably is through my website. And that's www.advancedhealingenergetics, all no periods or anything, all one word, .com. And I have a way to contact me through there. And yeah, that's probably the easiest way to do it.
Great. Awesome. Well, again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and be sure and catch this workshop. I think it's going to be a great one. And anyway, we've got to sign off. So keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and hang in there, because we're going through one gate after another, it seems like. And so it's going to be a wild ride from here on out. So anyway, have a great evening. Good night.
Okay. You too. All righty.